Let us pray. Holy God, may the words that I'm about to share, may the meditations and thoughts of all of our hearts and minds be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In his little book, Illustrations of Bible Truth, H.A. Ironside pointed out the folly of judging others. He related an incident in the life of a man called Bishop Potter. Bishop, I think, was his first name. He wasn't a bishop. He was sailing for Europe on one of the great transatlantic ocean liners. When he went on board, he found that another passenger was to share the cabin with him. After going to see the accommodations, he came to the purser's desk and inquired if he could leave his gold watch and other valuables in the ship's safe. He explained that ordinarily he never availed himself of that privilege, but that he had been to his cabin and met the man who was to occupy the other berth, and judging from his appearance, he was afraid that he might not be a very trustworthy person. The purser accepted the responsibility for the valuables and remarked, "It's all right, Bishop. I'll be very glad to take care of them for you. The other man has been up here and left his for the same reason." People like, and I would venture to say many of us, like, and some love to point out the sins of others or to judge them. If you notice, and I think probably most of you have, we are quicker to see what's wrong with another person than what is right. Remember when commercials were about the merits of the product being advertised? And now it seems like commercials about how bad the other ones are. We notice how people dress, especially if it's kind of shabby, if it's out of fashion, or just plain weird. We notice if they've got red hair or bright purple hair. We notice other people's infirmities, especially if it makes them act or look a little different or funny. We notice if they look shady or even menacing. Many people are quick to form negative opinions of other people. And we hear this in our Luke passage today. Now, Jesus is in the house of Simon the Pharisee, and there are other people there as well, maybe some other Pharisees. And they're having a nice, amicable discussion over dinner. As they are eating, a woman comes in and kneels in front of Jesus and begins to cry. And as her tears fall on his feet, she takes her hair and wipes them, and continuing to kiss and wipe his feet the whole time. Now, we might ask, why is she doing this? We don't know. Perhaps Jesus had done something for her or for a relative or a friend of hers. Perhaps she had listened to Jesus speaking somewhere relatively close by or recently and realized that God loved her and that she needed to change her life. Whatever had happened, we don't know, but we do know that it had a profound impact on the life of this woman. Now, from the thoughts and the remarks of the Pharisee, the other thing we know about this woman is that her work was not what we would consider good or wholesome work. Today, we might say she did not have good family values in her life. By the way, we cannot say this is Mary Magdalene, as many people have said over the years. We just don't know who this woman is. The Pharisees could only see the bad in the woman. And they would have said, or they were saying, Jesus, if he really knew what this, if he recognized her, he would throw this woman out. But Jesus saw something different. He saw a person who needed to be loved, who was willing to change and be a better person.
He saw that the problem that she had was that she felt unloved for whatever reason. And when she did realize that God loved her, that Jesus loved her, she became a new person. The late psychiatrist Carl Menninger once said that if he could convince patients in psychiatric hospitals that their sins were forgiven, 75% of them would walk out the next day. That's the kind of hold that sin has on people. The kind of hold that feeling unloved has on people. Forgiveness is a powerful form of love. One's not going to forgive another person if they don't think that that other person should be loved for their humanity. They're not going to bother. And what this means for us is that we need to start or to see the possibility of good in each and every person. We have to stop putting ourselves and all that's good about us in a safe, as it were, to protect ourselves from other people. Each and every person is a child of God, whether they know it or not. And each and every person has the ability to grow into that knowledge if they don't know it. But because of their history, because of whatever we don't know, they are unable to do that. And they don't recognize their own belovedness in the eyes of God. And when we don't share that message with them, when we don't forgive them, when we don't love them, then we perpetuate bad and angry feelings in other people. Consider the following story. Late one summer, this is a true story. Late one summer evening in Broken Bow, Nebraska, a weary truck driver pulled his rig into an all-night truck stop. Went in, ordered a hamburger and fries and a cup of coffee. While he was getting ready to eat, three tough motorcyclists walked in, leather-jacketed, Hell's Angels types, and they sat down next to him and began to give this truck driver a hard time. Not only verbally abusing him, but one grabbed his hamburger, another one grabbed a handful of fries, and the third one took his coffee and started drinking it. How would you respond? Well, this trucker did not respond in the way that you might expect. He calmly rose, picked up his check, walked to the front of the room, put the check and his money on the cash register, and went out the door. The waitress followed him to put the money in the till. And then she stood at the door watching the truck drive. And then drove off into the night. When she returned, one of the bikers said to her, "Well, he's not much of a man, is he?" And she said, "Well, I don't know about that, but he sure ain't much of a truck driver. He just ran over three motorcycles on his way out." I know Paul would enjoy that one. Let's admit, there's a part of us that relishes the actions of the truck driver. We go, "Yes!" The old adage, "Don't get mad, get even," rings in our minds. But then think about down the road. Take it the next step. The reaction of the bikers after this. They will hate truck drivers even more. They will harass more truck drivers after this. It creates animosity. Granted, what the bikers did was wrong, and what the truck driver did was wrong. But perhaps the truck driver could have handled it differently. He could have said, "All right, guys," and bought himself another dinner and paid for both of them. Or he could, if he didn't have the money to pay for two, he could have said something like, "I appreciate you're hungry, and I wish I could buy you dinner, but I can't afford it. Help me out here, guys." There are any number of ways that he could have dealt with this than to take out three bikes. The truth of the matter is, If people don't feel like someone else likes them or doesn't care about them, they become sad, afraid, or angry. None of those of which are positive feelings. These are not feelings that make people feel loved by God or even by others. I think the best response to the bikers would have been to buy them dinner and then tell them why you did, because of your faith in God. A long time ago, I came across a piece that says, "No one has ever been shamed, ridiculed, or made fun of who then began to think positive about themselves." Think about that in the following story. There was a rather large church where everything was done properly. Everything was done just so each and every week. People dressed themselves in very nice clothes to come to that church, and they behaved during worship and participated in all the right places with the right spirit. Now, this church was in a large city, and they also had a college in the city. And one day, as the pastor was getting ready to get up to preach his sermon, the back door opened, and in walks a long-haired college guy. And he starts to walk down the center aisle looking for a pew, and it's pretty full, so finally he just plops himself down on the floor of the aisle. Now, he's wearing blue jeans, an old shirt, and hair that looks like it hasn't been washed in at least a week. Now, everybody in that church was whispering, some soft, some loud. "Have you seen anyone dressed like that? Look at that hair. I bet he hasn't washed it in a week. How terrible that he just plopped himself down on the floor of the aisle. Now one of the ushers may trip over him." And then they all kind of noticed old Mr. Jones starting to walk slowly down the aisle. Now, Mr. Jones was the oldest member of the church and very well respected in the church and the community. And he was walking slowly with the help of his cane down the aisle. When the people saw him, they said, "Ah, Mr. Jones will tell him what for. He'll tell that man that's not how we behave in church and that he better leave. They don't come any finer than Mr. Jones." And they watched Mr. Jones as he continued to hobble down the center aisle. And he got to where the young man was. And then slowly and carefully, he sat down in the aisle next to the young man. It got real quiet in that church real fast. The pastor got up into his fancy pulpit. He said, "The sermon I was about to preach, you will never remember. The sermon you just saw, you will never forget." And they didn't. They never forgot it. They still talk about that to this day in that church. And they do all kinds of things now for students at the college. You see, when we stop expecting people to be like we want them to be, we can do wonderful things in their lives, and often wonderful things will happen in our lives as well. We'll make friends with people that we never would imagine we would have been friends with. We'll begin to see the good things in them that we did not know were even there. As I reflected on all of this on this Father's Day, and I've shared this with you before, I want to give a special thanks to Dad. Because, you see, my dad was a person who could see a lot of good in a lot of people. I've told you about how I like to talk to cashiers and checkout people and baggers and so on and so forth in stores. And I always look at their name tag and get their name. And I'll say thank you and say their name or whatever. We'll try to get them in a conversation. Let them know I've noticed them. To let them know that I'm grateful for what they do and that I care about them. I learned that from Dad. Dad had a special knack for getting along with people, even strangers. My brother John and I would go with Dad to the store for something, and Dad would strike up a conversation with the cashier. We'd go out and say, "Dad, who was that?" He said, "I don't know." He was respected at his job for that very precise reason. He cared about the people, and many of them were very different than him. So I give thanks and a shout out to my dad for that. I recently heard of a button in a tourist shop that said, "To err is human. To forgive is out of the question." I hope not. It cannot and it must not be out of the question. To respect people as human beings, to love them as human beings, to forgive them as human beings, because we certainly need to be forgiven as well. That must be our way of living in the world. And if we cannot do that, then we're no different than those people in that church as Mr. Jones was walking down the aisle, and the things that they were saying. Let's love all of God's people. Both who know, those who know that they are God's people, and those who don't even have a clue that they're God's people. Let's love them all. Amen.